You know, folks, we're headed towards a war. I guess you couldn't call it anything else. We're headed towards a war. I'm not talking about a war between nations. I'm talking about a war between kingdoms. And we're going to see the feet of the beast come face to face with the feet of the body of Christ. And I mean that by pointing out to you that in Daniel chapter 2 and 3, the image of the beast, the end time beast, was those toes and the feet, you know. And we know that the toes were the 10 toes, or the 10 continental divisions of the earth. And did you know that in each one of those toes, there's also another kingdom? There's another set of feet there, you know. And it's the feet of the body of Christ, the end time body of Christ, that's in each one of those kingdoms. And folks, we're headed towards a head-on collision with the sons of God and the sons of the devil. Do you know that there are children of the devil and that there are sons of the devil? And that there are children of God and sons of God. And sons, of course, are those that have come into the image of their Father, whether that's in the devil's kingdom or in the Lord's kingdom. And we're headed towards a head-on collision. I'm not talking about any physical warfare here. I'm just talking about a spiritual warfare that we're not going to lose. Okay? Some people will lose it. Some Christians, so-called, will lose it, you know, in their own personal experience. But we as a whole are not going to lose this battle, folks. And there will be a falling away, and there will be a lot of people coming to take their place. But we are not going to lose this battle. It's just going to be awesome, because the signs and wonders of God are going to be there. The power of God's going to be there. And I want to share this little revelation that Wayne Wilson sent me. He sent me this dream that he had. Listen to it. It's kind of neat concerning this battle that we're headed to. He said, I had a short dream the other night. He said, you were in it. He said, we were in a larger type vehicle, traveling at a high rate of speed, around 70 miles an hour. You were in the passenger front, and I was on the driver's side, but I wasn't driving. In fact, I was standing, and don't recall any steering wheel. Something else was in control of the vehicle. There were a couple of passengers in the back seat, but I didn't know who they were. And somewhere and somehow, we had just preached the gospel, and we were talking about signs and wonders following. And suddenly, with no decrease in speed, we were approaching a 6 to 8 foot solid block wall that seemed to be a pale yellow color. There was not one bit of fear in the vehicle. In fact, we seemed to be joyful as we approached the wall. The last thing you said before we plowed into the wall was, here comes the signs and wonders. Then we found ourselves all standing about 20 feet away from the car, unharmed in any way. And I remember looking back at the vehicle as it was totally demolished. And one of the passengers in the back seat, around 6 feet and slender with light blondish hair, was slowly walking away, shaking his head in disgust. He walked by me and said, why does he, do that? I wish he wouldn't do that. I said to him, don't you realize we were just translated out of that wreck? And that was the end of the dream. We were just translated out of that wreck. Folks, there's a wreck coming. I mean, everything that can be shaken will be shaken. Everything that's made of man is going to fail, but the kingdom of God will not. That the things of God may remain. The things that are created by Him will be here, but the things that are created by man will not. We're headed towards a head-on collision with this world. And I'm going to tell you, I read the end of the book, We Win. You know, around the end, let's see, it was about 3 months before the end of 1998 that the Lord spoke to me that there was going to be a delay in the judgment of the United States. Many prophets for some time had been seeing these judgments and visions and prophecies and dreams, and many of the people of God across this nation. There was just a wave of people receiving this revelation. And about 3 months before the end of 98, the Lord told me He delayed this. But He told me to be quiet about it. And He only let me tell just our local assembly about it. Sometime after that, actually, He let me tell our local assembly about it. And then, 3 months before the end of 99, before the year 2000, 3 months before the year 2000, the Lord told me to speak it. And I did speak it. I spoke it, sent it out to quite a few prophets that I knew, sent it out to them. And, you know, with one accord, they saw what I was saying and they accepted it and they passed it on to others. And, of course, nothing did happen in the end of 2000. Many of you know about that. You're familiar with it, you know. I also was shown by the Lord that that same judgment would be delayed in 2006. And the particular judgment we were talking about is the attack on America by all the nations to destroy America. And those two, that particular judgment was delayed. But the point I'm making here is that why would God tell me something like that and then tell me to be quiet about it? Because He wanted the word to get out. He wanted people to repent. Truly, judgment was and is coming. But the people of God have no fear of the Lord. There can be no doubt in my mind that what the Lord wanted out was the revelation of this coming judgment, whether it was going to happen in 2000 or not. He wanted this revelation to get out. He wanted the fear of the Lord restored to His people. And, you know, as we've gone along, people with a true gift of God have shared things, judgments that were coming, and others, of course, shared what I call wolf prophecies. You know, a wolf prophecy is like the boy who cried wolf, right? You hear it enough until people don't pay any attention. Well, I think the devil lots of times throws some of these in there so that after a while people don't pay any attention. But the truth is there are some true revelations from God, because the Lord has shown them to us too, and He's also shown us the delays. He's spoken to people. We've talked about a judgment coming upon America, not the one we were talking about in 2000 that was delayed, or the one in 2006 that was delayed. But we've talked about another judgment that could bring about a war and in the Middle East, and could bring about the New World Order because of that war. And, of course, all these things are coming. But my thoughts just up until just recently was that this was going to happen before the end of this year. Well, I want to share something with you. Our own Robin Shenick has received a revelation here, and I have another revelation here that I took off of our site that seems to say that there is going to be a short delay in this particular judgment that was coming. Let me read this to you. It's very interesting. Robin said, this was on 11/30/05. In a dream, I found myself, my two older brothers, and many, many other people at a large concert hall. We were seated in a row not far from the front of the auditorium, maybe about 10 rows back from the stage. My eldest brother, Stu, was seated between my next oldest brother, Damon, and I. And I was seated on the end of the row at the outside aisle, or maybe there was one seat more left to my left. The concert was about to begin. The concert began. There was also a man who I'd gone to high school with. He was in my oldest brother's class, so he was 2 years older than I, and I had had a crush on this guy in high school. Now, we were all grown up and at this concert together. And we sat there talking and preparing to see this concert. As we sat waiting to see this concert, my father, who was outside the concert hall, unseen, sent in a message to my oldest brother to come out there. Well, I thought it was kind of interesting. Her father, of course, is the Father God, who is unseen and outside the concert hall. And, of course, our oldest brother, you know who our oldest brother is, don't you? He was the firstborn among many brethren, so he's our oldest brother, right? And the father spoke to the oldest brother to send a message in to her. Stu, my oldest brother, went out and came back with the message that father had said that he was not going to start the judgment just yet. The bad thing that he was about to do to the world, and that he did not want us to memorize or pray something just yet, lest we hinder something he wanted to do or to prevent. Well, I thought this reminded me a lot of the thing that the Lord had told me, you know, about a delay, but don't make it too well known, you know. So I held off on this for a moment until the Lord started showing me other people getting the same revelation here. But the father had said that he was not going to start the judgment just yet, the bad thing that he was about to do to the world. Okay, this is a concert. You know, what we're about to begin is something that's very orchestrated, if you will. And it's designed to bring about God's glory in his children. It's orchestrated, and our parts are all completely planned out. Matter of fact, the Bible says that the works were finished from the foundation of the world, and that we just enter into those works by faith. See, God is not leaving anything to chance for his children. He's working all things together for our good. And he's working in us to will and to do of his good pleasure. And this concert began, she said, and my brothers were both up on stage and also sitting next to me, which was strange. I don't know if all of Robin's brothers are saved yet, but they were all sitting next to her on the stage, and that's a very interesting thing. Maybe they are, and maybe this is a sign that they will be. But she said it was strange, so I didn't really understand why that she put that note in there. She said, I was also supposed to be one of the musicians, but my cousin, Yvonne, who was up on stage with my brothers and playing a very bad cello solo segment of the piece of music they were performing, I kind of laughed at the sour notes she was playing and looked around at others, but I was proud of her anyway. You know, it's kind of like, you know, no matter what age we are, we're playing a part in this end time thing. And like Robin was proud of her cousin, it'll be that way for all of us. The Lord loves all of his children. As long as we're desiring to do his will and seeking to serve him, you know, sometimes we're young, sometimes we're older. And when we're young, we prophesy in part, and we actually work in part. We do things in the kingdom in part. But when we're old, we put away childish things, don't we? And she was just as proud of her younger cousin. And, of course, the Lord is that way with us, you know. She goes on to say, my brother Stu and I switched seats when he came back with the message. So I did not have to get up again to let him to sit down. And he sat down and relayed the message to the other two of us. He said, father said he was going to wait a little while on the catastrophe he had just about begun because of some intervention by prayers or requests of some kind. Well, I don't know if all of you believe that, but I can tell you that the Lord does do that. I mean, he tells us all things whatsoever you ask in prayer, believing you shall receive. And the things that are happening are turning. No, they're not. The things that are happening are not turning America to God, folks. But they're turning the elect to God. And I can tell you, you can't even hope for more than that. You know, a lot of people think that God's purpose is to turn America to God. America's not going to turn to God, folks, but the elect will. And like Jesus said, it's a broad road, and many find it, that leads to death, but there's a narrow road, and few find it, that leads to life. Well, folks, it's got to be that way. America's never going to turn to God. Many of them are going to be used as vessels of honor, as the beast kingdom, to crucify the saints of God and bring them to maturity. Everybody on earth has a purpose. God says that he has vessels of honor and vessels of dishonor. In fact, he says of his vessels of honor, sin, he'll chasten them with the rod of the children of men. See, he uses men to do his bidding, good, bad, or any other way. Well, the revelation here was that Father said that he was going to wait a little while on the catastrophe that he had just about begun because of intervention of prayers and requests. So I'll read on. I asked my brother if Father wanted us to leave the hall or what. My brother seemed to indicate that we were just to wait there for another signal. Don't leave just yet, just wait. And he sat down again with us. Well, that sounds like a kind of a stand-down order, you know, but the resumption is not very far off, right? Because we're not really leaving the concert hall. I was greatly agitated and knew that through the delay, though the delay was spoken by Father as the result of the intervention of people's prayers and such, that this delay would be extremely short, and that Father was not stopping the catastrophic event. So, according to what she felt in this, was that the delay would be extremely short. Okay. Later in this dream, I found myself at some other place where my physical fitness was being tested. I was on an exercise mat on the floor and was doing sit-ups, and I had to do at least 30 or 50 to prove good fitness. I began to do the sit-ups and was doing rather well. No one was holding my feet at all, and I was just easily performing those sit-ups. And I felt like I could go quite a long time, and that 50 of them would not be a problem at all. I also noted that I was working to maintain just the right angle to maximize the effect of the abdominal muscles so as not to cheat. And I wanted to feel the muscles working properly. Well, you know, my thought about this is that during this delay, we are to spiritually exercise ourselves unto godliness, like the Bible teaches, you know, and to get prepared for the judgment while we're waiting. Possibly some people are not yet prepared, you know, to face what we're about to face. But it's going to be a warfare in the spirit realm, and we're going to have to be spiritually strong. We need to draw close to the Lord. We need to put the Word of God in our heart. We need to put the armor on while we're waiting for this, you see. The world is going to suddenly turn against Christianity, folks. I mean, like Mark Fritz's dream that I shared with you the other day, the tribulation is going to be suddenly upon us, and many people are just not going to be ready for it. Not only because of their foolish doctrines that they've listened to instead of seeking the Lord for themselves, but because they're just not, they haven't been motivated to run after Jesus and put him in their hearts and be prepared. Obviously, Jesus is going to make it through this. And Christ in you is going to make it through these things that are coming and do a wonderful job. And so that's what we need. No one hath ascended in heaven but he that descended out of heaven. And that's, of course, Christ in us. And I have another confirmation here I'm going to share with you before we go on to something else. There's been a prophecy on our site for several months that says that there would be the Greek-named storms, and then there would be a delay after which the explosions would happen. And I'm going to share that one with you. Of course, you know, before these Greek-named storms came along, people just didn't think this would ever happen. And now we've come all the way to Epsilon. Am I missing one? I'm not sure. I haven't been keeping up with it. Okay. The last one was Epsilon, according to the folks here. And that's, of course, an awesome world record. But I'm going to share this revelation with you. It's by a man named Reverend Caleb Kinley. Okay. And he's sharing a few examples of past dreams and revelations that came to him that did come to pass. So he's just using this as, proof that this one that he's sharing here could also come to pass. He said, for example, 2 weeks before September 11th, I did dream of the exact events, which was verified by my mother and my wife. And about 3 days before the tsunami, I dreamed the tsunami would happen, and it came true, verified by my mother, my wife, my congregational members, as I shared the tsunami dream with many of them. Again, I'm not a prophet, and I pray this does not alter anyone's opinion of me. I'm too afraid not to share this dream and can only hope and pray that this one does not transpire anyway. These were terrifying to me, to say the least. The dream began with a loud voice, saying, "Thus saith Elohim, the wicked has witnessed chaos, and still they refuse to repent." Chaos times chaos times chaos, quote, "They ignore my call and refuse to gather under my wings." Chaos times chaos times chaos. "They are busybodies with idle hands, putty for evil. They send a rancid stench to my nostrils. O miserable wretches, they have become. They worship the sun and everything that's under the sun but me. They worship man, but not me. They worship lust, but not me. They worship envy and covetousness, but not me. They worship power, money, and fame, but not me. They worship science and nature, but not me. They bow down to pleasure for a season, and I will cut them off from among my people." Notice who he's talking about here, from among my people. So he's talking about the wicked among his people. Now, you know, folks, God has a right to judge the wicked because he's righteous and he's never sinned. But he tells us that we're forbidden to judge them that are without, 1 Corinthians 5 says. Them that are without, God judges. We judge those that are within. God has given us authority to do that, the spiritual among us to do that, okay? But he forbids us to judge those that are without. And there's a real reason for that, because those that are without, they don't really have a gift from God to understand. They don't have a gift of faith to believe. They don't have the gift that you and I have. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, they don't have that gift. And they're not as responsible as you and I are to do something with the gift that's been given to us and not be called ultimately by the Lord an unprofitable servant. That can only be God's people that can be unprofitable servants and cast forth into outer darkness. The world will not be as condemned as God's servants are who do nothing with the gift he gives. To whom much is given, much is expected. The one that's done things worthy of stripes but knew not will be beaten with few stripes. But the one that's done things worthy of stripes and knew will be beaten with many stripes. Folks, that's God's people. We know better. We know that that word is the word of God. Any religion, any Christian religion out there, they'll tell you that word is the word of God. Well, then why aren't they putting it in their heart? Why aren't they discovering that that we're going to be judged by the word, which is what Jesus said? So desire earnestly to do that, because God is speaking in this judgment here concerning his wicked people. He said, "They bow down to pleasure for a season, and I will cut them off from among my people. Therefore, chaos times chaos times chaos will be their reward." Why did the curse come upon the earth? Wasn't it because of one of God's people? Yes, the curse came because of Adam's sin. And it will be because God's people turn to him that the curse will be lifted off. God is, by the way, God, since by man the curse came upon the earth, it will be by man that the curse will be lifted. That's what the Lord told me. "Watch and see, O servant, watch and see the meaning of chaos times chaos times chaos, O servant. Take and eat of this parchment, and your tears will be for visions, and your tongue shall prophesy forth my words." Well, you know, in the Bible, a couple of times God said the same thing to prophets, right? Like the Apostle John, he said it would be sweet in your mouth and bitter in your belly, right? Well, we need to eat the roll of the book, folks, like Ezekiel. We need to eat the roll of the book. And it may be sweet in our mouth, but the belly is the god of the wicked. It represents the old flesh, the selfish will, and it's bitter in the belly. That word that we put in our hearts is sweet in our mouth, but it puts to death the old flesh. It's bitter to the belly, right? "Few will hear you speak of my words, and fewer will come forth and share the mantle of my blessings. Many will not believe and will continue in their sins and make great hate of you and the rest of my servants. The infidels will despise my people and bear false witness to try and remove the virtue from my bride. But the light of your menorah will not burn out. Thus saith Elohim. I was then lifted up above the high mountains by a breeze of wind, and the wind was like an invisible floor, so that I was able to stand in the sky and see the earth through the wind, like it had a glass floor. Now listen to this. There were great movements of water in the oceans. Hurricanes, he put in parenthesis here with a question mark behind it. That's what he thought they were. Bearing Greek names that caused more flooding and wreaked more devastation. Then came a pause. And I'm not sure if the days of the pause represented days, months, or years. But once the quiet pause was completed, there was four or five great lights coming from the ground that turned the mountains into dust and rubble. Now, you know, I'm just trying to connect some things here of different dreams and visions that have been given to me and different prophecies. But I remember Chuck Young Brandt and another ministry saying that they thought that there were three or four different nuclear explosions planned against America, and that their prayer teams, they believe that the Lord has shown them that this was down to one or two that's actually going to be exploded in America. Well, I'm talking about before the ultimate world war, in which many, many are going to be exploded in America, okay? And, well, I think that's a good possibility. I really do. Lots of times God does send out a threat, and when God's people cry out to Him, He listens to their prayers, because God really wants to answer our prayers. He wants to prove that He hears our cries, you see. But I also believe that these four or five great lights could also mean that there may be a couple of explosions in America, one or two, but also overseas there may be some. And I'm convinced, by the way, that there is going to be some going off overseas. So I'm going to read this again to you. He said, then came a pause, and I'm not sure if the days of the pause presented days, months, or years, but once the quiet pause was completed, there were four or five great lights coming from the ground that turned the mountains into dust and rubble. The flesh of people from miles away dissolved, and all that was left from those who perished were their skeletons, clean down to the bones. They had no eyes, and their eye sockets were clean as if someone used bleach to clean out a white plate. Many who survived were maimed, amputees, and as they wept, bright green tears mixed with blood melted away the parts of their face made wet by their tears with a fizzing sound like Alka-Seltzer. They had no eyelids as their eyes dissolved because of their tears, and their eyes swelled up like they looked bug-eyed. And it was then that the skeletons of the dead came alive. This is obviously spiritual speaking here. The skeletons of the dead came alive and hunted the living and killed whoever they caught. And he put in parenthesis here, in other words, pandemic disease. As you know, that could very well cause a pandemic disease. And he goes on to say, and then the earth opened in many places around the earth, great earthquakes, you know. The earth opened in many places around the earth, swallowing up many of those who survived the bright lights. And the oceans and the seas grew large, sending waves and storms, too many to count. The dead of many floated on the water, and included women and children and babies and animals and men and cities once hidden from the water were now covered with water. And the rivers and the oceans and seas cried because they were polluted by rotten flesh and blood. And I could hear the cries of thousands of people, and the cries made my ears have sharp pains that I had to put my fingers in my ears. And many of the living blasphemed the Lord and searched for His people to place blame on us. They said, let us find the bride and eat their flesh, for it will taste sweet as honey. And then I saw a great famine, such as has never been. Rich nations were now begging for bread and were happy to pay much money for rotten bread covered with worms. Many began drinking unclean water from the rivers and oceans and seas that were still full of dead human flesh. And some would drain the blood of their children and roast their child over the open fire and then feast upon their children, drinking their blood while eating their flesh and being merry. And disease stood tall and caused many more to perish. Now, you know, folks, God is... I've had prolonged fast before, and you know what I know? I know that because I know the Lord, I could fast right on off into eternity. It wouldn't hurt me a bit. I could just fast. What is it about the wicked that would have them to eat their own children? And historically, it has happened in situations like this. What is it about them? They fear death because down deep inside, they know where they're going. They know that they don't belong to God, but they fight it with all of their might. They fear death. The righteous don't fear death, and they even welcome it should it be in their path. You know, they welcome it. It's not a problem. We enter into eternity. Jesus called it entering into life. Did you hear what Jesus called it? I believe it's in Matthew chapter 5. Entering into life. That's what he called death. Well, at any rate, we have a couple of witnesses there that there is a slight delay after the Greek main storms and for the concert to begin. And it is a concert, folks. It's totally orchestrated by God. Everybody has their part, their place. God's getting people ready for that place. A brother the other day shared a dream with me about a football game, and he was supposed to be one of the players, and he was a little late for it. Somebody shared that with me. But everybody's going to be in their place, folks, and we need to be ready.